Amen. I want my life to count for something. Count for the Lord. If you wouldn't, your Bibles this morning, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and kind of keep your Bible open, but I do want to, so that you won't look through the book while I'm preaching, is to go over the booklet that was passed out, but we'll be in 1 Corinthians here in a moment. I'm thankful for our church, and over the years, the volunteers who have been so intricate in seeing us reach our community for the cause of Christ. Many events take place. I think about Vacation Bible School and all the efforts that go into that, and the months of planning and preparing and the amount of volunteers it takes to put on a Vacation Bible School. And our church has been faithful to do that. You've done such a great job of being there and helping and helping in everything. But I know at any given time there's need for workers. And so each year we have Ministry Involvement Night to show that there are spaces and places where we have needs. And so I want to just point out a few of those this morning, but you can take the booklet home and you can read through and about every ministry, what the purpose of the ministry is. As you look on page 7, it talks about the bereavement ministry, bookstore, bus ministry. By the way, we started a bus ministry back up here a few months ago. Last Sunday they had 11 or so. This Sunday was a little sparse. But, you know, we're just excited about that ministry getting back and going and picking up boys and girls and parents and adults to come to Sunday school and church. And care counseling ministry with Miss Linda, children's church with Miss Julie Latta on page 9, a choir, Brother Wiggins, Brother Cox heads up our discipleship, Heritage Baptist Bible Institute, Brother Zellner there on Thursday nights, Heritage Christian Academy with Brother Lepper, the administrator there. My wife heads up the kitchen crew, the local outreach of Brother Latta. Handles the Tuesday morning, or Tuesday night and Saturday morning local outreach. Master Clubs, but the Biddles, doing a fine job there. My wife heading up the nurseries. Nursing homes headed up by Rachel and Brother Phil and Rachel James. And the puppet ministry, Miss Julie Latta, once again. Our safety team, Brother Billy and Brother Allen, doing a great job there. And we have definitely stepped up our safety team and over the last year or two with guys being trained as PPOs. And so in any given time, I just want to remind you again, there are men who have been trained who are here in the auditorium and around the campus who are there. And it's a sad day we live in, but I'm thankful for men who are willing to volunteer. And ladies, could do this. Just letting you know. We're still waiting for our first lady who says, hey, I'd like to be on the security team. All right. Just a little plug there. It's all good. Shut-in visitation, Brother Gary Cox, on Tuesday morning. And always appreciate very much those who go out on Tuesday morning. Sunday school, Brother Lepper just took that ministry. And the tech team, Brother Tyler King, again, just taking that ministry. Brother Feaser with the sound and all the things that go into that. Ushers, Brother Gentry, welcomes. I'm on page 15 if you're trying to follow. Welcome center, Miss Donya Wiggins. Again, yard and maintenance. Yard and maintenance. What a job. Chad Biddle, youth ministry, of course, the Lattice. And so, and there's a few that weren't mentioned. I know we have children's choir and some other ministries as well. And so in those various ministries, there are needs. And in the booklet, it shows you those needs. The bereavement ministry, always need help with that if there's a loss of a loved one, of helping with meals and just being a part of being a blessing to that family. The bookstore, which will open back up hopefully soon here in the next couple of months, needs some help in rotating in and out of there. Bus workers need a permanent female bus worker to help and always need extras to help sub. Care counseling, when Miss Linda's counseling, it's good many times to have a person or a couple who could help share their experience to somebody who is hurting. Children's church, toddler church needs adult lady to help on the third Sunday. First through third, children's church needs an adult lady to help on the fourth Sunday. So it's a rotation. So you would just help every third Sunday. You would help every fourth Sunday. Anybody bored yet? It's all good. Discipleship on Wednesday nights. Brother Cox does a great job leading this up. But if you would like to disciple, if you'd like to be a part of discipling someone, Brother Cox can help and train you to do that. And you could be a part of that ministry on Wednesday nights during church. Heritage Christian Academy always needs substitute teachers and those are willing to help with gate at the sporting events. Kitchen crew. This is a very important job at our church. Willing to set up, help set up, and then also willing to clean up. And I appreciate those who volunteer and do this every fellowship and every part. And So that's an area you can help in. Local outreach, everyone's encouraged, of course, to come out to visitation Tuesday mornings, Tuesday nights, and Saturday mornings. And we do need help with childcare on Tuesday nights. And if you say, well, I'm too bashful, I don't want to go out and visit anybody, but maybe you'd be willing to stay here at the church on Tuesday night and help babysit kids, and we do need that. That's a very big need. Master clubs, we are in need of a teacher who is willing to take a class. So there you are, Wednesday night. There's an opening for a teacher there. And always need help with substitutes and so forth. Nursery, ladies, always need help with nurseries. If you'd like to volunteer to be in the nursery rotation, certainly encourage you to do that. By the way, all of our nursery workers, any of our volunteers who work with children, go through a background check. Nursing home, we need anyone willing to lead Bible studies and church service, instrumentalists, special singers, and so forth. There's always a need that in that area. Puppets, if you're interested in helping with puppets, there's a need there. It's a rotation basis. Safety team, again, back to the safety team, and there's a need there. If you'd like to get trained, we would help you. This has become a new part of the church ministry and part of the church budget. And so some of you will be shocked what this is costing the church. And that's with using our own volunteers when we do the stewardship conference in January. Shut-in visitation, we'll need volunteers to faithfully visit on Tuesday mornings. Sunday school, always needing some substitute teachers if you'd like to do so. Tech team, those who work there in the back and help with the video and filming and all the things that go in there. Need people capable of helping there. Ushers and greeters, need more volunteers. Welcome center, need four more people or maybe a couple of couples. Yard and building maintenance, there's always things to do around here. If you just get bored during the week, you're like, I have nothing to do. Come up to the church. Always something to do. And then youth ministry, always looking for volunteers to help, especially with the youth hangouts where they do their fellowships. And I saw where Brother Latta put in there about the 52 Club. And my wife and I give $2 a week to the youth department on our envelope to help, again, with the youth. Keep them busy, right? Keep them busy. So I encourage our church family, if you're not giving systematically to the youth department, I'd encourage you to do that. And it'll be a big blessing to them. And they're doing a great job with our youth. So I'm going to stop there, but that gives you an idea. Because people come to me and say, well, preacher, is there any place I can serve, anywhere where I can be a part of? And there you go. And sometimes you think, well, we're in a little bigger church. I can't do this. Everything's taken care of. No, it's not. There's plenty of places to volunteer, plenty of places to get involved. And I just encourage you to, there in that booklet, you can tear that back page right on it. And last year we did the same thing, but this year we have someone deliberately in charge of looking through those and making sure each ministry head gets the volunteer's name who would volunteer for that position, and you'll be followed up on and making sure that you can be on the list or whatever it is to be a part of that various ministries. Many of these ministries are rotation basis, so you don't have to serve every Sunday. So you can still come out here and hear preaching, right, and singing. But one time a month, you can be back helping in a rotation, whether that's nursery or children's church or whatever it may be. Wednesday night master clubs. We take the summers off, so you'd work during the school year on Wednesday nights. And being a part of this ministry, by the way, it does matter. It matters. And it will be worth it all. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and let's start in verse 24. It says, "For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another." Verse 26. "And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for, again, your word. We thank you, Lord, for just a generous church, a giving church, a serving church. And Lord, I pray that you continue to help us to do so. That each member would continue serving, realizing that it is worth it all. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless this time, bless the reading of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul uses a lot of different analogies to describe the church. And here he uses the body as an illustration, an analogy of the church. Why? To help us understand. To help us understand how the church and how it functions. The body of Christ. This is reiterated many different times throughout the Scripture, that the church is compared to a body. If you look back with me in verse 1, and I'm not going to read all this chapter because we don't have time, but it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." In other words, unlearned, you know, not knowing. And it goes on to speak about the gifts that were given, and they were given to them, or given to the church by the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 11. "But all these worketh," talking about the gifts, "that one and self-same Spirit, that were given to us by the Holy Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." In other words, God has given us through his Spirit gifts. When you got saved, when you accepted Christ as your Savior, you were given gifts. You were given the ability to have a particular function in the church, a unique gift to help in the church, to be a part of the church and helping it go forward. If you look down through the verses 12, it speaks about the body of Christ. "For there is one body, and for as the body is one," verse 12, "and hath many members, and all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." And that's speaking of water baptism, being that it's the Spirit of God who convicts your heart about being needing to be baptized. And you come and you get baptized here at the church, and you become a part of the body. You become a part, a member of the church. And there's a lot of misconception about that verse. "And we are bound or free, or having been all made to drink into one Spirit." Verse 14. "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body." Is it therefore not of the body? Verse 16. "And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body?" I'm not going to read all of these, but he's just going back and forth saying, all right, if the hand says it's not a part of the body, is it not a part of the body? Of course it is. It doesn't lead, you know, it's part of the body. It functions. The eye doesn't tell the hand what to do. No, the brain is the functioning part. It tells everything what to do, and everything cooperates most of the time. As you get older, it stops cooperating sometimes. But the body functions together, and all the parts are necessary. All the parts are important. I mean, I broke my arm when I was a kid, and I broke it playing just right there at the time of baseball season, and I was the first baseman, and I wanted to play baseball, Dad. I wanted to play baseball. In fact, he's here, so let me tell the whole story. I jumped out of a swing and broke my wrist. I come home, it's swollen, whatever. My dad says, "You're going to be all right." Made me play the baseball game that night. I played a baseball game with a broken wrist. The next day, we go to the hospital and it's broken. I just wanted to sell something bad on my dad. Yeah, it was broken. In a sling, spent four weeks at the farm in Duncan, Oklahoma with my grandparents instead of playing baseball. But man, you know, you break a wrist, it just totally messes up what you want to do. Everything's important. Have you ever, you know, stubbed your toe or, you know, broke a finger, I broke a couple of fingers, and all of a sudden just it messes with you. Because everything, all my members are important. All the members of the church are important. And everybody has a function. Everybody can have a part. The body works together. I have many different illustrations I've written down. I'm not going to go through all of them. But, you know, a football team has to work together. Right? And we see the divas today, don't we? On football teams. Yeah, that just can't get over themselves. It hurts the team. You know, those floppers, especially in soccer. You know, somebody barely touches them and they fall down the ground like they've been shot. Basketball players are somewhat the same way, but soccer, that's the worst. You know, some players just always have an excuse of why they're not, you know, why they didn't play good or why they couldn't fulfill their role. You know, coach, the equipment wasn't right, or you didn't do this, or you didn't do that. Listen, a team works together, and there's no room for divas in the work of the Lord. Really? Amen. No room for floppers. And there's no excuse. Just serve the Lord. I I'm thankful for sound systems. And I don't mean that Brother Fieser will take this right, because I love him. I don't have to have a sound system to preach. It's not necessary. I'm thankful for it. What a blessing it is. But each ministry needs to be careful. No ministry is more important than the other. No member is more important. The sound system guy, I'm using him as an example, is no more important than anybody else. Amen? Help me out now. I got a little bit down on the level. Everybody good? Yeah. And we all work together as a team. The body functions together. We have, again, as a church, a body functioning together. I love this term, and I don't have time to fully develop it, but the word tempered, he says there, he says, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together. We have been tempered together. Again, the word tempered means hardened. It strengthens. And I watch several YouTube videos like everybody else does when they want to know about something, about tempering metal. What an interesting part. You ought to go on YouTube. You can watch it. And I've always wondered, how does a smith, you see him banging on another piece of metal with a piece of metal that's hot. And you wonder, why doesn't this piece of metal he's banging it with, why doesn't it just fall apart? The answer is this piece of metal has been tempered. It's been hardened. And so the one he's banging with and the one he's hitting with, it has been gone through a process, and it's harder than the metal he's messing with. It's called tempered, being tempered. And I'm not going to go through all the details. I wrote it down here, but it's an amazing process. And the Bible talks about the church being tempered together, and it is a process. Some of you who've been here for 18 years, you know we've been through a process. And through the good times and the bad times, all those things have helped us to be better and to be strengthened together, to be closer together. And we are a body tempered together. We are stronger together. We are stronger together. More can be accomplished together. And more can be accomplished as we work together. And there's not, again, and they used the word a while ago, schisms. That there's not divisions in the church. And I'm thankful our church, especially at this time, and it's just rolling. And what a great time to be a part of Heritage Baptist Church and feel the unity and feel the Spirit of God here and just folks working together. We must continue to do so. Working together, striving together for the work of the Lord. And we are, again, stronger together. If you look in your booklet on the very first page, there's a little outline. If you want to write it down, you can, or if not. But it says there, steps to serving. So what are the steps to serving here at Heritage Baptist Church? Number one, in order to serve here in the church, you must know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You must be saved. You must be saved. I hope this morning that you know that you know that you know, if you were to die today, that heaven would be your home. I'm thankful you can know. John said, these things have I written unto you, that you might know that you have eternal life. He didn't say that you might hope that you have eternal life. He said, this is John, the apostle. He said, that you might know that you have eternal life. And this morning, if you're here this morning and you do not know, I encourage you. Here in a minute, we're going to have an invitation, and we're going to invite you to come down front. And from the Bible, somebody can show you how your sins can be forgiven and how you can have a home in heaven. I'm thankful for Jesus Christ who came 2,000 years ago, who lived a sinless life for 33 and a half years, and yet went to the cross, and there he died for my sins. Not for sins he had done, not for crimes he committed, but he died for my sins. He paid the price for my sins. They put him in a tomb, but 3 days later he rose from the dead, having paid for our sins in full. And if we simply come to him and ask forgiveness for our sins, repent of our sins, and believe that he lived, that he died, that he rose again, the Bible says you can be saved. You can have eternal life. We'd love to show you how to do so. If you're going to serve here at Heritage Baptist, you need the gift of salvation first. If you're going to be teaching someone how to get saved, you should first off have the gift yourself. Serving the Lord. One must also be growing in the Lord and walking with the Lord. Number two, should be a member of the church. And so at Heritage, if you're going to serve in these capacities, there's a few exceptions that we make, but for the most part, every ministry, you have to be a member of the church. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus said that he loved the church and gave himself for it. I just want to remind you that Jesus Christ started the church. Jesus Christ established the church. That it's his intention that those who are saved would be a part of a church. Well, preacher, I don't like organized religion. Well, Jesus did. He's the one that founded it. Is organized, and I don't like what they organized religion, that term All right? I believe Christianity is Christ. Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. But I get that a lot. Well, I just don't believe that, you know, the church, whatever the case is. Can I just tell you, Jesus Christ, he said he loved the church and gave himself for it. He established the church. He established the church in order that it might be the agent whereby he would give the gospel to the entire world. The world's going to be reached through the church. So the church is important, and to be a member of a church is important. And I hope this morning, if you don't have a church home, we'd love to have you and love to show you how to be a part of our church family. But being a part of the church family, being a member, gives you the opportunity to serve and to be a part of the various ministries. Just as a side note, Jesus Christ did not commission the Red Cross. Red Cross does a lot of great things, right? But Jesus Christ commissioned the church. And we ought to be about the Father's business. Number three is consistency, or being consistent. And as you serve, you ought to be reading your Bible, and you ought to be praying every day. You ought to be attending church faithfully. You ought to be giving, and you ought to be serving the Lord and being a witness. It's called Brother Sexton calls it the 5-star Christian. I think that began with Brother Robertson years and years ago. But a 5-star Christian. These are things we learn when we're in Sunday school and when we're 5 and 6 and 7 years old. The basics of Christianity is where you start. The starting blocks in Christianity is reading your Bible and praying every day and being a member of a church and giving of your tithes and telling others and being a witness. That's the starting point. And those who serve ought to be engaged in those things. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, "Moreover, it is required of a steward that a man be found faithful." And we want to be found faithful as we serve the Lord. Number four, consider. Where do you fit in? So we've gone over some of these needs and say, "Preacher, I don't know that I fit in. I don't know where I fit in." Well, we encourage you to go to that website and do a gift test. And then from that gift test, you should be able to kind of get to where you can see maybe where you'd fit in. But the body is made up of many members. Some are the mouthpiece, some are ears, some are legs, some are there are various members of the body doing various things. Again, and I emphasize, there's no one more important than the other, and Paul points that out in this chapter, that all parts are important. But we ought to exercise the gifts that God has given us. 1 Peter 4:10 says, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as a good steward of the manifold grace of God." That every person who is saved, every person who has the Holy Spirit in them, who, when they got saved, has been given gifts, a gift, to minister to others, to be a blessing to others. And we ought to be a good steward of those gifts. These gifts, again, are given to us to serve God in a unique way, to meet specific needs in the church family. In other words, God sent you to Heritage Baptist Church, and you have a unique gift to help this church be a blessing. You have a unique gift to help this church serve and help others. And we ought to all use our gifts in that way. These gifts were given. Usually God takes a talent that you have or something you already enjoy doing and uses that as a way to edify and to encourage the church family, to minister to the church and the community. And we won't turn there, but if you want to turn there later, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16 addresses this, that we are here to edify the body of Christ, to be an encouragement to our church family. And here, in Peter, it says, one day we'll give an account. We ought to be a good steward of what God's given us. I usually use this one because it's the best example. If you can sing well, and you're a member of Heritage Baptist Church, and you can sing good, and you have a good voice, I won't point out those in the church who don't, but John Reed may be one of them that doesn't need to be in the choir. I pointed him out a couple weeks ago. I do it all the time. John Reed does not need to be a member of the choir. Not even going to mention his dad. But it kind of runs in the family a little bit. All right? So, but if God's gifted you to sing and you're a member of our church, you ought to be in the choir. You ought to use the gift that God has given you to be a blessing and encouragement and a help to others. And in every way, God has given you something. God has given you a gift, again, to be a blessing, encouragement, and a help to the church body. All right. Number five, counsel. You say, well, I still don't know exactly where I should serve or where I could be a part of. Well, come to myself and I'll try to help you. Or see your son. If you're in Brother Clark's class, go and talk to Brother Clark and get some advice, some counsel. And there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. Go find someone, talk to one of the deacons, and just get some advice as to where you think you best could serve, where best you could serve with your gifts. Number six, commit. Jump in. Once you find where you want to serve and where you believe God's led you, jump in. Jump in with both feet. Don't kind of, you know, test the waters. Just jump in. Get going. As you get going in our church, as you start and being part of the ministry in our church, there may be some leadership requirements. If you work in our children's area, there'll be a background check you have to go through and some of those things. And again, being a good testimony, an example to whomever you are serving, whoever you're teaching. That's why you can't teach in our Sunday school class if you're not tithing. Why would we let you teach a Sunday school class and teach children that they should be a five-star Christian and that you're not being a five-star Christian yourself? So there may be some requirements in some areas of service. And then in some areas of service, there's not as much requirements. And we try to, again, take into account new Christians and those who can serve who may not fit some of the criteria. And so there's a place for everybody to serve. Everybody to serve. But commit. Get going. Do all to the glory of God, right? Whatsoever you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. We ought to give God our best. Man, you give your boss and you work for him and you work for the company or whatever you work for and you try to give it your best. We should give God our very best. Number seven, commence. Get going. See the difference you can make. There's always going to be challenges in the ministry. Whatever ministry you decide to go into, I don't care if it's even whatever. You may think it's a small thing, or by the way, again, there's no small ministries. But whatever the case, the rewards far outweigh the price that is paid. You teach a fourth grade class, or you teach a third grade class, whether it's a master clubs or Sunday school, and you have to put up with some. Yeah. It's worth it. It's worth it. The rewards far outweigh the price that is paid. I'm telling you, teaching a Sunday school class for 10 or 20 years, the reward far outweighs the price that is paid. People's lives could be changed forever by what you do. I'll give a real simple illustration. Aren't you glad we have a nursery? I have ADD. I'm not kidding. I mean, I was raised, and my dad, he had hypermedicine. So may have been a leather belt. But I may have been a little bit of a hyperactive kid. I'm not that way anymore at all. I don't have that problem at all. Squirrel. No. But, if we didn't have a nursery, could you imagine what it would be like in here? Honestly, even this morning, we've been having a lot of babies here. It's like all of a sudden, everybody had babies. Don't drink the water. If you had all, I don't know how many is in there this morning, but we've been having about four or five, the little babies. And, huh? Three this morning. Say those three babies were out here. Yeah. It would be a little distracting, wouldn't it? Right? What if somebody in the congregation this morning is not saved? And what if the baby distracted them from hearing the gospel? So the people keeping the ladies keeping the nursery this morning have had an eternal impact. There's no little ministries or big ministries. Everybody works together. Everyone works together. It's important what you do that may impact eternity. It will. The reward far outweighs the price. You rotate in the nursery once every 6 weeks or whatever. Reward far outweighs the price. Number seven, commence. That's what I'm on. People's lives can be changed forever. Number last. It actually goes along with our theme. Continue. Instead of trying to prevent you from serving, now the devil is going to try to discourage you to be ineffective. So now he's just trying to keep you from serving. He's giving you every excuse in the book not to serve. You're busy, you got all these things going on, and so forth and so on. But after you commit to serving, he's going to do everything he can to make you ineffective. See, it's kind of like marriage. You get into marriage, you have these expectations, right? I got married 27 years ago. I had some expectations. My wife and I have known each other since we were 13. We got married right out of high school. We were 18. She was 17. I was 18. And we had expectations. And guess what happened? My wife did not meet all those expectations. And neither did I meet all her expectations. You kind of have this dreamy pie in the sky. You know, all these little issues we had after we get married are all going to vanish away. And it's going to be amazing. And the honeymoon period, it's awesome. And then real life comes, and here we go, right? And it is awesome. Marriage is awesome. Marriage is awesome, Reed and McKenzie. Marriage is awesome. It's awesome. It really is. It's awesome. It's great. But we kind of have these false pretenses, these false ideals about marriage, and it takes a while, and finally we figure out, hey, yeah, that was not what I expected. And sometimes you get into various ministries in the church, and you have expectations of people, and guess what happens? People will fail you. People are not perfect. And don't allow something that a person does to you or to the ministry that you have been involved in to discourage you in serving. Just continue. You're not there for the person. You're there to serve the Lord. And people will disappoint you. Now, as a pastor, I've never had that happen in the ministry. Nobody's ever disappointed me. And surely I've never disappointed anybody else. Of course we do. But don't allow that to discourage you. You just continue, right? A missionary does not go to the field simply because he loves those people and he wants to meet their needs and see them get saved. If that's his only motivation, he'll eventually come off the field. No, a missionary's motivation better be to please the Lord. And if you'll keep your eyes on the Lord and pleasing him, it doesn't matter what anybody else does. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. Just as long as I'm pleasing the Savior. Just continue. Keep at it. Listen, this morning, are you using your gift? Are you involved? If you're a member here, and are you involved somewhere? Are you helping? Are you being an encouragement? Are you helping to pull forward the ministries of Heritage Baptist Church? If you're not, I encourage you to do so. You jump in any of these places we just named. Maybe you're here and you're visiting our church. Maybe you've been visiting our church a long time. And you've been trying to decide whether to be a part of our church family. We'd like to encourage you to come and let us show you how to be a part of our family. Maybe you're here and you're not saved. Maybe you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. We'd love to show you from the Bible how you can have eternal life. Let's all stand. We have a verse of invitation, inviting you to come forward. Some of you need to come forward and pray about your involvement in our church. Some of you need to come down and pray, God, what would you have me to do? Where would you have me to serve? Some maybe need to come forward and submit themselves for baptism or whatever the need is in your life. You come this morning. Again, kind of a unique service this morning. We're going to hymn 155, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, after we pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you all for all you've done for us. The blessing of serving you and the reward that far outweighs the trouble and distress. And God, may we continue to serve with your Holy Spirit and your power. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.